Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I've been on for over a month now, talking about a better way to pray. That's the title of my entire teaching. We're now into the final teaching in that series entitled Prayer is a Process. And this week I've been trying to get across the point that when we pray, God moves instantly. God releases His power, but there is a process, or you could say a period of time in between when God moves and when you see the results of what God has done. And I think that a failure to understand this is just a breeding ground for defeat in prayer. Because there's so many scriptures. I've already used Mark 11:24. It says you have to believe you receive when you pray, and then you will see it later. And see, if you don't understand that, if you think that if God just willed something to be so that, boom, instantly it happens, then the moment you pray for something and open your eyes, and if you can't see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, or feel it, then you're going to think, well, God didn't do anything. But when you understand that there's a process, that God can move, but it takes a period of time for what has happened in the spiritual realm to manifest itself into the physical realm. If you understand that, then you'll be able to stand without getting into unbelief and without wavering in your faith, because you know that it's in the pipeline. It's in process. It's in the works. Things are moving. And I tell you, understanding this has made a radical difference in the way that I receive from God. Let me use another passage of Scripture to illustrate this. This is over in 2 Kings chapter 6, and this is an illustration about where Elisha, the prophet of God, was so in touch with the Lord, so in tune with God, that God was speaking to him and telling him the king of Syria's battle plans. And so Elisha would send to the king of Israel and tell him what was going on, and the king of Israel was winning every single skirmish that was going on between them because of Elisha giving this privileged information that he was getting directly from God. So this is in 2 Kings chapter 6, and in verse 11 it says, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that you speak in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? Now, you got to get the picture on this. Elisha had been giving away the secret battle plans of the king of Syria, not because he was a spy, but because he was getting them directly from God. He was delivering them to the king of Israel. Finally, the king of Syria figured out what was happening, and he sent all of his armies down to surround Dothan. And it was obvious why they were there. They were there to take Elisha and to stop this leak of his military secrets to the king of Israel. And so they were in a bad situation. And the servant of Elisha woke up in the morning, went out and looked, and there were thousands of enemy troops surrounding them. And so he said, Alas, my master, how shall we do? Which is the old English way of saying that he panicked. What are we going to do? And look at Elisha's answer. This is just one of the greatest examples of faith. It is a classic example of faith recorded for us in the Bible. It says in verse 16, He answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, what a powerful, powerful truth. And yet, you know, some people would have a hard time with this, because a lot of people would look at this and say, well, that's just an out-and-out lie. There's a lot of people, even Christians, that sometimes will present that faith is nothing but saying that something is so when it really isn't so. And then if you'll believe it and say it long enough, it will become so. Another way of saying that would be is faith is faking it until it becomes real. But see, that is not a true representation of faith. Elisha wasn't saying something that wasn't so, trying to make it become so. He was saying truth. And some people would argue with that and say that isn't true, because you could count, you know, the enemies out there by thousands, 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, 20,000, and then you look over at Gehazi and Elisha and go, one, two, two against thousands and thousands. There is no way that Elisha's statement could be true. Well, see, that is a true statement if all you believe truth is what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. If you don't acknowledge that there is a spiritual world and spiritual things that exist beyond our ability to perceive them with your little peanut brain, well, then it's a true statement to say that Elisha lied. But if you take everything into account and acknowledge that there is a spiritual world and that there are things going on in the spiritual realm, then Elisha didn't lie. Elisha told the truth. Actually, you could say it this way, that a person who says, you know, unless I can see it, unless I can feel it, then I don't believe that it exists, that person is a liar. That person has their head in the sand. That person isn't acknowledging all of reality. It's like they have blinders on and they just aren't acknowledging that there's a spiritual world. Unless scientists can prove it, unless you can put it into a test tube, unless you can somehow or another get the scientific community to acknowledge it, then you just don't believe that it's real. Then you know what? You know, I hate to say this, but it's the truth. The Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It is foolish. It is a fool that doesn't acknowledge the spiritual realm. And I know that there's people going to be upset with me, but you know, I'm just tired of people sitting there and making you look like you're a fool because you're believing what the Bible says, and yet how can you prove this? And unless somebody can prove it. You know, I recently had some people that were scientists write in and challenge me on some of my statements about evolution and saying, you know, it's fact. You can't deny that the world is billions of years old. It is not fact. There are entire groups of scientists, thousands of scientists that have signed on to a intelligent design is what they call it, and they aren't necessarily Christians. It's just that the facts aren't there to support evolution. And I have people criticize me and they make you feel like, you know, somehow or another you are inferior because you just aren't dealing with facts. There is more than just these physical things that we've seen. There is a spiritual world. There are spiritual realities that exist. And a person who says, I'm only going to go by facts, and then they go only by what they can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, you aren't taking all of the facts into consideration. You aren't playing with the whole deck. You are blinded to the fact that there are spiritual things going on inside of people and in an unseen realm round about us. There is a spiritual world that exists. And so when Elisha said, fear not, those that be with us are more than those that be with them, he wasn't lying. He would have been lying if all there was to reality is just the physical world, but there is a spiritual world and a spiritual realm and spiritual beings that exist, and things are going on in this spiritual realm. And so it would have been a lie if there wasn't a spiritual realm, but there is a spiritual realm, and therefore Elisha did not lie. He wasn't saying something that wasn't so, trying to make it become so. He was saying what was true. It just wasn't physical, natural truth. It was a spiritual truth. And you can see that in the next verse, because in verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, when did these horses and chariots of fire come? Did they come after Elisha prayed that the guy's eyes would be open? No, they were there already. They were just in an unseen realm. You couldn't see them with your physical eyes, but he prayed that the Lord would open up his spiritual eyes, that he could see with his heart. And he saw what already existed. They didn't just all of a sudden come when Elisha prayed this prayer. They were already there. All he did was pray that his servant would be able to see into this spiritual realm. There is a spiritual world. And to me, this answers a lot of questions. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. All of us say, I asked and I didn't receive. Well, according to your perception, that may be the way it is. You may not have seen it manifest into the physical world, but in the spiritual world, God released His power. God gave your answer. Healing was in the pipeline. Prosperity was in the pipeline. Deliverance, joy, and peace, victory was in the pipeline. God, if you prayed for something that was promised you in the Word of God, He is faithful, faithful, faithful. God gave it to you. God released that power, but it's in this spiritual realm. And whether or not you know how to take something that exists in the spiritual realm and bring it into the physical realm is an indication of where you are in your faith and in your relationship with God. It is not an indication of whether or not God gave. I'm here to tell you that God always, always, always answers prayer. God has always been faithful and released His power. It is never God who fails to answer any person's prayer. If there's a failure on anybody's part, it's a failure on our part to understand these things that we're talking about. We simply believe that if God wanted to, He could just move like that. We don't understand that there's a spiritual world and there's things that have to take place before what is true in the spiritual manifest itself into the physical. And so because of our lack of understanding that, we immediately get into unbelief. And unbelief just closes the spigot, turns the spigot off, stops the flow of God's power. John 4:24 says that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God moves in the spiritual realm. He releases His power into that spiritual world. And whether that spiritual reality ever becomes a physical reality is not an indication of whether God is moved, but rather it's an indication of whether He has a person that He can flow through to bring those things into physical manifestation. Let me use this passage of Scripture out of Ephesians. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." How many of you believe that? You know, if I could see you right now, I just would see hands going up all around the world as people say, "Yes, I believe that." But you know, that's not true. Let me go ahead and read the rest of this verse. It says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." It is actually untrue to say God is able to do anything, because God has established laws that He flows through people. God does not operate in this earth independent of people. God will not do it. Satan cannot do it. Satan has to have a physical body to flow through. God, because He just does not force Himself upon us, will not flow without flowing through a person. And so, it is God's will to heal every single person, but not every person is healed, because you know what? Not every person will allow God to flow through him. And often, it's not total rejection or rebellion that causes people not to allow God to flow through them. It's just carnality. It's the fact that they are dominated by what they see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. They don't acknowledge anything exists beyond this physical world. And so they hear a promise in the Word that ask and it shall be given to you. So they ask, immediately look, and if they can't see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, or feel it, they just assume God has done nothing, because they don't acknowledge that there is a spiritual world. They don't understand that God moves in the Spirit, and there is a process from when God moves to when you see the physical manifestation. And because of this lack of knowledge, you know, the Scripture says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge. They're destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And because we don't know this, we just immediately get dominated by what we see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, these five senses. And we say, "Well, God didn't move. If God had moved, I'd see it. If God moved, my pain would be gone. If God had answered my prayer, I'd already have money in my bank account. If God had moved, I'd automatically just be free from my emotional distress. All of these things would have worked." And a lack of understanding this is what the Bible calls carnal. The word carnal doesn't necessarily mean sinful. All sin is carnal, but not all carnality is sin. The word carnal just means of the five senses. It just means that you are dominated by what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, and you haven't developed your sixth sense of faith. You can't perceive anything that exists beyond just this physical carnal self. That's carnal. And the carnal mind is at enmity with God, is what it says in Romans chapter 8. It is the enemy of God. It's at war with God. It will stop the power of God. The truth is, when you ask, you receive. God moves. His power is released, but it's in the spiritual realm. And as you operate in faith, and as you speak, and as you act properly, that faith, your actions, your thoughts and actions of faith provide a bridge that what is true in the spiritual realm crosses that bridge and comes into the physical realm, and then it heals your body and puts finances in your pocket and does all of these kind of things. But if you don't acknowledge that this spiritual world exists, if you are what the Bible calls carnal and only limited to what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, then you are going to immediately come into unbelief if there isn't total manifestation of what you've prayed for. You're going to be dominated by this carnal mind. It'll be at war with God. It'll stop the flow of God. It'll block that bridge. It won't allow anything that's true in the spiritual realm to come over into the physical realm. And that's what's happening in the body of Christ. And I don't know if I've expressed this in a way that I've got it across to you, but this truth has just transformed my life. I know that there are things going on around me in an unseen realm that I can't see or perceive with my five senses. And I have now come to peace with that. I've come to know that that's a reality. And so when I pray for something and don't see what I've prayed for happen, it doesn't move me. I'm not controlled by what my five senses tell me. I'm not controlled by what I see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. I'm aware that there's a spiritual world out there, and because of that, I'm able to continue to believe even when things in the natural don't look like it's working. I tell you, that is a powerful truth. And many people aren't able to do that because of this simple truth right here. I know some of you may be saying, well, I just am not sure that I agree with all of this. Well, let me ask you, what kind of results are you getting? Again, I am not presenting that I am a perfect example. I don't claim that. I'm still learning. I still make mistakes. I am not the perfect example of anything. But I can say this, I haven't arrived, but I've left. And I am seeing victory in my life. And I'm seeing God do things through me that there is no explanation for except God. I'm seeing faith work. I am seeing physical manifestation of things. And according to the number of people that I deal with, I'm seeing more victory and more success than most people see. And so here's my point in bringing that up. If you're sitting there saying, well, I'm not sure that I agree with this, you would like to get the results. You would like to see your son raised from the dead as God did for me. Praise the Lord. You know, you're seeing this program on a delayed basis. But at the day that I'm making this program, it's just one day after the 6th year anniversary of my son being raised from the dead after he was dead for 5 hours. You know what? I'm excited about what God's doing in my life. I'm seeing power. And some of you would like to see that results, and yet you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't understand why he's making such a big deal out of this. That isn't that important to me. And yet you're wanting this results, and yet you're rejecting the root that I'm saying causes this kind of result. If you recognize that you aren't getting the right fruit, if you recognize that your prayers aren't effective, if you recognize that you pray for all kinds of things and yet you don't see the physical manifestation and you're frustrated and you want something different, well then, you know what? You're going to have to change the way you think. And some of you may feel like I'm belaboring this, but I'm sticking on this point because it is so important. To me, this is one of the greatest revelations that God has ever given me, that five senses, our five senses, are not all that there is to reality. That there is more going on than what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. You have to get into the Word of God and read what it says and believe it and trust this and get to where this is more real to you than what your eyes tell you, than what your ears tell you, than what your body tells you. And when you do that, you develop this sixth sense of faith. And you know what? That's what walking by faith is. And if you can understand this, that there's things going on, then you can pray like for healing in your body. If you have a cancer in your body and if there's pain and things like that. You could pray, and even though you may still have swelling, even though you may still have pain, even though you may still not feel like eating, you could believe that the power of God was released. You could believe that God has touched your body, and just like the fig tree in Mark chapter 11, that cancer is dead and cursed at the root, and it may take 12 hours, it may take 12 days, but you will see a physical manifestation. You will see that cancer leave. You will see the root die. You will see the cells, the tumors leave. Your appetite will come back. You will live and not die. But if you don't understand this, how in the world can you fulfill what it says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, where it says, when you pray, believe that you receive. How can you believe that God did something when you don't see any physical proof unless you understand that there is a spiritual world in which God is moving and He's doing things? It just hasn't yet come over into the physical realm. I tell you, understanding this has changed my life. It's totally changed my perception. And if you can get hold of this, it'll totally change the way that you pray. And, you know, I've got so many other teachings I've just recently taught on the believer's authority. If you understand what I've said right here today, you are at a perfect point to be able to take that step into this believer's authority. And now understand that God has done His part. He's released His power. Now it's up to you to take your authority and speak to the mountain. Take your authority, rebuke the devil, bind these things, and bring what God has already done in the spiritual realm into physical manifestation. You know, all of the things that I teach, they all fit together, and you aren't going to get the results that I'm getting and that I'm proclaiming I believe God wants us to have. You aren't going to get that taking one of these isolated truths by itself. You need to put all of these pieces of the puzzle together and get an entire picture of this, and that's the reason I've been teaching on things in a sequence. I tell you, this teaching that I've been doing on prayer right here is, in my estimation, just one of the things that God has used to change my life, and I believe the same thing will happen to you. Now, we're going to continue this on our program tomorrow, but I do want to emphasize that I've got this book out entitled A Better Way to Pray, and I really encourage you to get this. We now have this in bookstores, the Family Christian bookstores, Barnes & Noble's, Books A Million, Borders. And if your bookstore doesn't carry this, they can order it through Harrison House. So we have our book, we have CDs, and I believe that this will just totally change your life. We also have DVDs on A Better Way to Pray that were taped from this television program. So please listen as our announcer gives you that information. Please call or write today, and then make sure that you join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled, A Better Way to Pray, is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a five-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. The fifth audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth teaching free of charge. Request teaching TY25 titled, Prayer is a Process When You Write or Call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled, Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you are being blessed and you're getting this truth about how important the Word is, and you don't even know how to get started. You don't know where to read. You don't know what to do. You know, that's the reason we put out our materials. They can help you. But really, the best thing I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. And we not only have this campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 different Bible colleges scattered around the world. We also have an online Bible school that we just started. And you can now go online and in a class setting where you are interacting with other students, you can go through our online Charis Bible College. There's a lot of ways for you to take advantage of it, but I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and pursue participating in our Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference next week, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 15th through the 17th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock of Atlanta in Atlanta, Georgia, April 18th, and in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 13th through the 15th.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days. This is where we invite people to come in and check out our classes. We will be holding regular classes. It begins on a Wednesday and goes through Friday. You'll be sitting in on our Bible college classes. You'll get to hear the instructors. You'll get to have lunch with the faculty. There is also a soup supper. And it's just going to be a great time of the Word ministering to you. But also, if you have ever thought of coming to Charis Bible College, you need to be here. It's amazing what happens when people just come and try it out and get a taste of it. They get hooked on it. So I would encourage you to come check us out March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Once again, let me direct you to our website. It's a great website. Like I said, we have 19,000 visits per day to our website. And we have over 2,000 of my television programs that are archived, about 8,000 of my radio programs. They're all listed, indexed according to topic, so that you could get topical teaching on that. I also have books, magazine articles there. Just a wealth of information. You can download over 300 of my teachings free of charge. It is a tremendous site. I guarantee you it'll help you get in the Word. So we have the website right there on the screen. I encourage you to check it out today.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
You know, most people could probably last for 2 or 3 minutes. If you came forward in a prayer line and if I prayed for you and before you hit the floor, you were totally healed. Most people can handle that. The problem is when it takes longer than 3 minutes.